Rainmaker FM. You're listening to The Digital Entrepreneur, the show for folks who want to discover smarter ways to create and sell profitable digital goods and services. This podcast is a production of Digital Commerce Institute, the place to be for digital entrepreneurs. For more information, go to rainmaker.fm/digital commerce. That's rainmaker.fm/digital commerce.
Welcome to The Digital Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the audible Katie Katz. Katie, how are you?
Hey, Sean. Doing well. You are sounding a lot better.
I am getting there. You know, for all of those people who suffered from the cold and flu this year, which has been quite acute, it never seems to go away completely, but I'm feeling much better than I used to be. So,
so glad to hear that.
All right. So for today's show, Katie, I want to talk about podcasting. Now, for any longtime listeners, you know we've gone through podcasting ad infinitum with Jared Morris, John Naster. Obviously, we're big fans of it here. But I want to know something, Katie. Have you ever considered doing podcasting on your own?
You know, I did think about it for quite a while, having been in digital marketing for many years and seeing a lot of my peers have a lot of success with podcasting. I considered whether I wanted to do my own show or whether I wanted to venture with YouTube or Facebook Live. And really, the question that always kind of held me back is what's in it for me? How am I really going to make any money from doing it? Because, you know, time is very expensive, as you know, and prioritizing those needs, that's usually a huge impetus for me.
Yeah, I understand. And that's because you're a marketer, because you expect a result from all your effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for many people who get into podcasting, I think there's really two ways to monetize the show. I think the first way, which I think is obviously the better way, is when you're using podcasting as a part of your overall marketing mix to support the sale of the products or services that you have already, right? Which is why we do this show. Let's be honest, right?
Yep.
We basically use this as a part of our marketing mix. So our return on ad spend is very tightly controlled to the product that we have. The second way, and I think this is the most common way people think of monetizing, is putting ads on their show, right? And I think the thinking goes like this. I am going to be the best podcaster ever. People are going to love me. And so many people are going to love me that all I have to do is throw a couple of ads on there and I am retiring to the beach, right?
Isn't that how it works, Sean?
Well, it's a little bit harder than that. In fact, a lot harder than that. And so for today's show, we have a very special guest who's been podcasting before there was even an iPod out there, who understands the methods to really use podcasting as a way to create up income for yourself through advertising. This is a topic we've never really covered on the show before. I'm very excited to go through the nuances, because when you are doing podcasting, not as a function of your marketing support, but really as a function of revenue through ads, there are nuances that you will need to know, and we will go through them when we get right back from this break. Stay tuned.
Hey, my name is Brian Gardner, and I am the creator of StudioPress, the first premium marketplace for WordPress themes. When I created StudioPress, I could never imagine that more than 200,000 WordPress site owners would use StudioPress to build some of the most elegant and inspiring WordPress sites on the web. And I am not just talking about the numerous large companies that use it. Tens of thousands of food bloggers, podcasters, affiliate marketers, real estate agents, photographers, and many more have created some of the most compelling mobile responsive websites using StudioPress. But that is not all. To make it easy for you to create a compelling WordPress site, we have introduced StudioPress Sites, a turnkey simple method to create and grow your WordPress site. StudioPress Sites includes many of our most popular WordPress themes, with unique SEO tools and plugins all integrated on our high-performance, secure, and actively managed hosting infrastructure. So when you are ready to take your WordPress site to a new level without the worry or hassle of less robust solutions, then I hope you will visit StudioPress.com. Over 200,000 bloggers and webmasters trust StudioPress for their WordPress site, and we work hard every day to earn it.
Welcome back from the break. So, Katie, let's get our podcasting talk going with our very special guest today.
Yes, today we have Rob Greenlee, who's the co-host of the New Media Show, and he's no stranger to radio or podcasting. He's also the former co-host of a 7-year syndicated broadcast called Web Talk Radio, and currently he's the head of content for Spreaker, which hosts podcasts including This American Life and NPR's Reporters Podcast.
Hey, Rob, welcome to the show. Really appreciate you being here.
It's great to be here, guys. It's fantastic to join. I always love talking about podcasting, so this is always a great topic.
Well, let's bring you to the attention of our audience, because what really stood out to me in your bio is just how long you've been doing this. I mean, you actually did podcasting when we had an iPod, right?
Yeah.
You were there when the whole concept of RSS feeds with audio files tied to your iPod, that's where your kind of foray into podcasting starts. So bring our audience just a little bit of your background to kind of give context to today's discussion.
Well, yeah, I should probably say that I actually started getting involved in this before the iPod even existed. So it was, but it wasn't called podcasting back then. So, I mean, these audio files from audio shows have been distributed online since really the late 90s. So, you know, just recording your audio program, whether it be a radio show or whatever, and putting it out as an MP3 file is really the foundation of what podcasting has been and continues to be today. So really, podcasting was just a easier way to basically make your audio file available to listeners, and making that direct connection to audio players, right? Portable audio players like the iPod and other regular MP3 players that were being put out there to support, you know, the Play for Sure platform. So podcasting goes really, really far back.
And I think really what changed the dynamics of podcasting, because we, as you indicated, it's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
what I think really changed the dynamics were two things. I call it NPR and the car. NPR because of Serial, right? I mean, that really put podcasting in a whole new light for people to enjoy. And then the second aspect is the car. With now everyone enabled with a mobile device that is Bluetooth connected to their car or their commuting environment, be it a train, wherever. Now they said, you know what? I've got all my radio. I've listened to all the music in the world. I need something else. The Serial is out here. Let me listen to that. Oh, there's other shows like this out there. And so I really think that set the tone for the past 5 years to make this concept of podcasting reemerge as a functional part of the online mix. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say really in general, I think what you say is pretty correct. I mean, but there's another trend that's happening as well, is audio consumption of podcasting is really starting to accelerate in the home now. Mm. And that's something that was there in the really early days of people listening to online radio type stuff back when we were in the streaming age more. People were listening in the home, but what's happening is, you know, these smart speaker devices, the Echo and these listening platforms are starting to penetrate the home more and more, and it's making this digital content accessible to people in their kitchens or in their bathrooms or wherever they happen to have these devices. So you're starting to see even listening happen in other places other than the car, but the car is still in its transition right now from radio. There's still a lot of people listening to radio in their cars.
Right.
And so there's still a lot of room to grow for, you know, the podcast or on-demand digital consumption.
And I think what you said about these voice-enabled devices, I mean, that's a big part of where I see a lot of interaction happening. And we talked about that on the show quite a bit, that this voice-enabled searching, if you will. So with Flash Briefing on the Amazon Alexa devices, you know, being a functional part of how you consume things. And of course, the technical requirement of that, it's only 10 minutes. So, you know, the beauty for people who really are excited about podcasting is that we are now creating up even more methods of getting that into people's hands, be it their mobile device, be it their home device, be it their computer. I mean, it doesn't really matter. If you are wanting to create up an audio conversation with people, there are so many ways that they consume it. So I believe in podcasts. You don't have to convince me, Rob, that podcasting is here for the stay. But I want to get into a couple of more details with you on this, because here's why. We've covered on this show how to do a podcast, right? And we've talked a lot about, you know, the fact that from a technical standpoint, it's really not that hard. There's tons of tools out there. This medium has been out for so long that really there's so many options to produce something. But inevitably, I'm going to say that the question that I get the most about podcasting is, Sean, how do I make any money doing this? How many sales can I generate? Where is the true, and I hate this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, ROI of podcasting, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to frame this up in two different ways. First off, I think the ROI in podcasting can be there if you are inserting calls to action in your show that lead to people acting on a product or service that you sell. That's mm-hmm. one form of monetization. But mm-hmm. here's why I wanted you on the show. I don't know anything about advertising, specifically advertising when it comes to podcasts, because I think for most people who look at this medium, they're saying, you know what, if I'm going to make any money at it, it's got to be from ads. So let's frame the rest of our conversation about monetizing a podcast with ads, which is something mm-hmm. I know you know a lot about. So talk a little bit about that. Let's say I have a show and I've got some listeners and I've been doing this for a while. So I've gone through all the stepping stones to get a show created. Now help mm-hmm. me make some money doing it, Rob.
Well, there's actually a couple different options, and it really gets back to your particular philosophy and your particular audience and community and frankly topic that you're covering in your show. I think you have to consider all those things when you decide if you're going to add advertising to your listener's experience. I mean, I think that there's some downsides to running advertising in your audio program, depending on what your goals are. So I think just speaking really high level, there's kind of two parts to it. So there's audience expectations. So you have to take that in consideration. If you've been doing your show for a really long time and you haven't had any advertising in your show, it's going to be a jarring experience for your listeners to transition to being able to accept advertising in your show. So there's kind of two ways that you can handle that. And it's complicated because oftentimes, depending on what type of advertising you would get involved in, is going to require that your show have a certain amount of scale, a certain amount of distribution, and a certain amount of audience. Might be a simpler way to describe it. Because a lot of advertisers want minimum levels like 5,000 downloads or plays of your program before they'll even look at your show as a place to place host read advertising.
Is that 5,000 per show or is that 5,000 total?
Per episode.
Ah,
so
gotcha.
Actually that would be accumulated like over like maybe a 2 to 3 week period of time. So that's kind of like the entry point for more traditional kind of host endorsed advertising that would be, you know, like through a Blue Apron or those type of an ad campaign. So you have that as an option. There's more and more platforms like Spreaker and like a newer company that we're launching here. We're in the middle of launching right now called VoxNest that basically enables you to sign up, get your podcast into these platforms, and we will do dynamic ad insertion into your program as well. You can set pre-roll, mid-roll, and post-roll positions for ads that would come from ad networks. So you have that kind of capability that's out there as well that you can get involved in. But before you jump into that, I would definitely think about your audience a little bit.
Yeah.
And understand that you adding those kind of commercials to your mix or you doing host reads will be a little bit of a jarring experience for them. You may lose some of your audience in that transition. So what you have to do is you have to start setting expectations. You have to inform your audience that this is what you're needing to do to support your show, to keep doing your show, you know, get their sympathy for your effort and get their support before you add advertising to your mix. It's just, you know, podcasting is such a personal medium. It's That listener is listening in their inner ear to you talking right now, just like in this program. And so you need to speak to them like they're your friend, and that you're doing something that you need to do and you want to solicit their support. And so I think that that's a very, very important piece of adding advertising to your program, is get them involved in the process. Tell them what's coming. Tell them that you have a new advertiser that's going to support you and your family in doing your podcast or your business or whatever that that is. Just be very transparent with them about what you're doing and be authentic about it. Give the product that you're promoting a try. Become an expert in that product. Become an advocate for that service or product, and you need to feel good about it as well. But there are advertising opportunities out there that don't give you that opportunity to make that kind of connection. It's all about setting expectations with your audience. And it doesn't have to be an overwhelming process. It's very simple. Just, you know, I also know of lots of people that will just get involved in affiliate programs. They'll get an Amazon affiliate program. They'll select a couple of products that are available through the Amazon affiliate program. They'll talk about those products. They'll put a link to it in their show notes or on their website. And that's how they kind of get their audience accepting advertising in their program. And then you can transition them into other types of ads beyond that.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I agree, you do have to set the foundational framework if you're introducing something new, right? I mean, that's a big part of just podcasting in general, is find your own rhythm. I mean, I know that Katie and I talk a lot about how we put a show together, and we have a standard format so that every time you listen to our show, whether you like it or not, it always is going to be the same format. However, as you introduce the advertising in, I really do think there's two types of ads, and talk about the pros and cons of both. The first type of ad, as you referenced, is when you, as the host, are actually speaking the ad on the air, right? And I always go back to Howard Stern when he was on terrestrial radio. You know, I knew people here in Dallas that paid Howard Stern money to read their ad. And it was so much more effective, I thought, because the host, whom you like, was reading the ad copy right on the air, almost giving a personal endorsement. That, I thought, was phenomenal. But then, of course, there's the second type of ad, which is, and again, using dynamic insertion as an example, these are ads that, hey, we'll be back after this break, and then somebody else's voice comes on the air. So talk a little bit about the difference between those two, especially from a monetization standpoint, and, you know, where they are valuable, where they are weak. Talk about it.
Well, the two types of advertisements that are currently being done in podcasting, just like you say, are the host endorse or host reads, is usually done by the higher end shows out there, shows that have large enough audiences that they can get really direct relationships with advertisers. I mean, like Casper Beds will actually send out a bed to a show host that is doing a host read for their product to let them sleep on their beds for a couple months before they do, or a month or two before they do their campaign. So they can speak from experience in endorsing that program. Now, that requires a fairly extensive relationship and dialogue with the advertiser, right? So that's one kind of end of the spectrum, right? And podcasting, like you say, is very effective at driving ROI to those type of advertisers because of that interpersonal connection and knowledge and testimonial that can happen in those. And then you get the other end of the spectrum, which is more radio-like advertising, which tend to be shorter. You're talking about usually maybe a 15-second to 30-second commercial ad that's created and dynamically inserted into your program through platforms like Voxnest and Spreaker, which does pre and post rolls. But more and more of these advertisers that are doing the pre-produced ad spots are keeping the digital audience in mind. So they're starting to produce these spots more like host reads more and more. So we're seeing this evolution that's happening. It's not like, you know, the guy selling a Chevy down the street at the car dealership, like we've all experienced on broadcast radio. That's not typically the kind of ads that you're going to experience in your podcast if you sign up for these type of services. But there is an economic difference between these two too. the engagement and the involvement of the advertiser with the show host on the host read side tends to pay better. It tends to, you know, have a CPM, which is a cost per thousand basis, of anywhere from $25 to $60 per thousand listeners. And then the other end of the spectrum, with the more dynamic insertion of a 15-second kind of commercial, you know, spot, would probably pay in the $5 to $20 range per thousand listeners, depending on the advertiser and the campaign and what the scale of the audience is. So that's kind of the spectrum. So you're not going to necessarily make a lot of money on the pre-produced ad spots, but there is an opportunity to make a lot of money on the host read side, but there's a lot more labor involved and a lot more demands on the podcaster to get that to happen.
And I imagine as part of that host read side, there's also some legal considerations to take into consideration. I mean, I know that when you're doing social media posts, where if someone's paying you or advertising their product, an influencer, for example, whether it's YouTube mm-hmm. or Instagram, they have to say sponsored post. And it's the same for podcasting. But talk about that. It's different a little bit on radio. When it's very clear that it's an ad that the host is switching over to, versus in podcasting where it's almost infused as part of the content. How do they navigate, or how can we think about navigating that?
Well, I think in podcasting, there hasn't really been any regulation that's come down from the FTC on this. So we're still living in this kind of gray area of having the separation, right? And so what you see hosts doing typically is they will make a mention that this program is supported by, it's almost like a little bit like a public radio endorsement kind of lead in. So mm-hmm. they've kind of set the stage for, this is what's coming next, is a sponsor of the program, right? So they've kind of set the stage. It isn't like what radio has traditionally done, where they will take a transitional break, right? They will fade the music up and we'll be right back after this, and it plays the commercial, and then we'll welcome back to the program. That's typically not how these ads are done in the program. They're done more as a flow, right? So you've softly transitioned your audience from content to a host endorse type of piece of content, and then you gently roll back into your content again. So it's not as jarring. It's less likely to be fast forwarded through, because you're not putting up like a stop sign on each end of this thing. Where it's easy for a listener to fast forward. But I would say if the host endorsement goes on too long, some will go 2 or 3 or 4 minutes long, listeners will start fast forwarding.
All right. So I have a question for Katie, actually. Okay. So Katie, your agency down in Houston has a lot of clients. And, you know, you are obviously working with them on their online presence. What are some of the questions you, as someone who potentially would say to your clients, we need to advertise on podcast, right? What are some of the things that you would find or want to know about as far as questioning this concept of, should I put ads out there on podcast? Because again, you got Rob here and he obviously knows something about ads. So what should you, or what would you want to know to be informed about placing an ad on a podcast?
Sure. I think anytime we're looking for any sort of ad placement like that, some of the questions we want to know, just as Rob said, is what is the reach? How many people can we expect to at least get impressions, and how many people are engaged in actually that reach? How long are they listening to the show? What's the drop-off rate? Yeah. And then probably even more importantly, I'd want to know demographic information, and I'd want to be able to validate that the target audience matches the audience that my client is trying to reach.
Okay, so Rob, mm-hmm. based on that criteria, talk a little bit to end our show with how podcasters listening to this can kind of meet those things that Katie is looking for, right?
Well, I mean, a lot of those things are provided to you by your hosting platform. So like a Spreaker or Libsyn or Blueberry or whatever, there's metrics that's that's tracked. And especially if it's a platform like Spreaker that has listening apps and listening platform that's integrated into the platform, it's much more easy to get demographic information out of a login listening platform where we can gather some information about listeners that you can use as a foundation for your metrics. Because you typically can't get demographic information out of iTunes or Apple, but you can get more and more here as they have launched a deeper dive into metrics. You can get some snapshot idea of how far people are listening into your content. Because for podcasting for many years, the whole download piece was like a black box, because once that episode gets downloaded to your iPhone or to your Android device, it sits on there. And nobody knows if anybody ever listened to it after it's been downloaded. So that's been one of the challenges. But now that data is being exposed now, Apple is sharing that. So we're getting a stronger glimpse of how long people are listening to this. We've always had a good idea of who's downloading it and how many people are downloading the episodes or clicking play to stream the episodes. So it, as far as that kind of stuff, it's really coalescing. The IAB, which is the Interactive Advertising Bureau, is working hard with the industry to come up with metrics and tracking standards that advertisers can feel confident in, that they're getting accurate numbers. So when these campaigns go out, they have an idea of how many people are going to be listening and how far they're going to listen. And is their host read or their insertion going to actually get heard, and by how many people? So we're getting close to having that level of data. Radio has never had data like this stuff before. So we're plowing new terrain for spoken word audio here.
Yeah, and I think this is something that will not only continue to evolve, but get so much better, especially around the demographic side, because you are correct. With Apple recently announcing their new analytics program, which is only, of course, for iTunes, but still an important part, yeah. Other platforms out there that are getting more of the play data. I think to Katie's point about demographic data, this is to me why when you are creating up a podcast show, having a call to action embedded in your show, whether it's a text message, sign up for my newsletter, do something is so important from the onset, because when you need to ask your audience who they are, if you've already built in a call to action, you have their email addresses. You can literally send out a survey, or maybe just based on their email, go to something like Clearbit API, which I use a lot, to find out who is actually listening to this. I mean, that's the thing that I think most people who want to monetize a podcast show forget, is that if you want to monetize it, someone has to act. And if you build in calls to action in the very beginning of your show, even if you're not selling or putting an ad or anything, just say, hey, if you like the show, send me an email, right? At least when it comes time for you to seriously think about monetization, you'll have a lot more data that, quite frankly, most of your peers won't have, because you've thought about the demographics, who is listening to it, beyond just the play metrics.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, putting out a link to like a SurveyMonkey survey to your audience and asking for them to get in there and share some information about them can help them have a better listening experience, and maybe that those advertisers that you attract to the program can be more relevant to them. But I wanted to mention one other thing on some research that's come out here recently from Nielsen. And if you want to go over and check this out, it's a great resource. And this is the Nielsen ratings people. These are the people that have done research around television and radio for years and years around their audiences and the demographics. And what they're finding is that advertising in podcasting works really so effectively that there's only slight differences in the effectiveness across different genres. So if you're an advertiser and you want to advertise in podcasting, you're going to get a pretty good ROI across any program that you advertise on. That's what the research is starting to show. Because podcasting is so focused on reaching listeners that have high disposable income and that are consuming things, that are engaged in social media, and they're very well connected to digital products and services, that they convert very, very well. So targeting you start looking at it from that perspective, and very precise targeting isn't necessarily going to give you an incremental increase in your reach and your ROI. Just being on any podcast is actually showing to be really effective for most advertisers.
And that is a great way for us to end our interview. Rob Greenlee, thank you so much for being on today's show.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
And we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, everyone. This is Sean Jackson, the host of The Digital Entrepreneur. And I want to ask you a simple question. What is your business framework for selling digital goods online? Now, if the question perplexes you, don't worry, you are not alone. Most people don't realize that the most successful digital entrepreneurs have a framework or a general process for creating and selling their digital goods in the online space. And one of the best free resources is Digital Commerce Academy. Digital Commerce Academy combines online learning with case studies and webinars created by people who make a living selling digital goods online. And the best part is that this material is free when you register. Are you interested in joining? Well, I'll make it easy for you. If you're listening to the show on your phone and are in the continental United States, I want you to send a text message to 313131 with the keyword digits, D-I-G-I-T-S. And when you send that text message, we will send you a link to the registration form right to your phone. Are you outside the United States? Don't worry. Just send us an email to digits@rainmaker.fm. Either way, we'll send you a link to the registration form so that you can sign up for free for Digital Commerce Academy. And as a special bonus, we will also subscribe you to our newsletter when you text or email us so that you can stay informed with the latest insights from the show. And don't worry, we respect your privacy and we will not share your email or phone number, and you can easily unsubscribe at any time. So if you want to start building or improving your framework for selling digital goods online, then please send a text to 313131 with the keyword digits, or send us an email at digits@rainmaker.fm. You won't be disappointed. Welcome back from the break. And at this point of the show, we always like to give you some tidbits to make your life better. And since we're talking about podcasting, Katie, let's talk about what it takes to actually produce a show, meaning what are some of the tools that we actually use and recommend to make this thing happen? So let's start with the microphone, Katie.
Yeah, well, as Rob said, there are a lot of tools out there that are really kind of affordable. There's not a lot of barriers to entry when it comes to podcasting. You can get going and sound like a pro very easily. So I think both you and I use the Yeti mic, which is awesome and really relatively inexpensive. And it offers you a lot of functionality to make your sound clear, even if you're not in a fancy padded studio with, you know, editors all around. So I love that.
Yeah. And you know what, though? It's not just the Yeti. There's one other thing you have on your microphone right now that most people forget to buy, which is...
What is it, Sean?
The pop filter, that screen that you're talking into to make sure that all your peas don't freak out when you put them on the air.
You mean the thing that suffocates me all day long?
When you put a pop filter on your mic, I think that's the one thing that so many people forget to do is, and like I'm talking to it right now, I got the screen in front of my face that I'm talking to because it helps disperse some of the more acute ways that I'm talking. So absolutely, not only get the Yeti mic, but get a pop filter to go along with it. There are some that are made specifically for Yeti. It doesn't matter. Get a pop filter. The other things that I absolutely recommend if you're really getting into this is we do all of our recordings via Skype. And I use Ecamm's call recorder for recording those shows where we're interviewing someone via Skype. And pretty much I use it all the time. Now, I know there are other ways to do it. I know there's some services out there. Ecamm is a software. It's a one-time fee. They make other tools out there specifically for Facebook Live. So they've got a kind of nice software tool set. But Call Recorder for Skype is kind of how we make every show happen. And it's very easy to use and pops right into Skype. And you can record everything on Skype, whether it's podcasting or not. So recommend using that. And then, of course, when it comes down to editing, a lot of people ask about editing tools. A lot of people use GarageBand. I just use Audacity. It's a open source download, tons of filters, huge community behind it. It is not easy to use, folks. Just telling you now, I use it every single week. It's not easy to use, but it's easy enough for a moron like me to figure out to get basic slices and edits so I can at least sound intelligent by taking out stuff that I say on air that I never want anyone to hear. So those are the recommendations for this week. So if you're really into podcasting, you probably already heard this. And the last thing that I will absolutely recommend to get you educated is Showrunner. As many people know, Showrunner is from our company. It's a paid course to help you learn everything about podcasting. So at the end of the day, a educated podcaster is a performing podcaster. And I think Showrunner is absolutely the best way to learn more of how to be good at podcasting. So just put in Showrunner podcasting in your search engine, you'll find it, sign up for it, and do it. So Katie, boy, that was a lot of recommendations for one little show.
Well, you know what? It takes a lot to sound like a pro.
Great way to end our show. Well, this has been The Digital Entrepreneur, and we will catch you next time. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.